Well, good morning. This is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and today we have Charles Oskey with us, the superintendent of schools for Johnson County School District Number 1. How are you doing today?
Great. I'm excited to be here. It's Thanksgiving week.
So it is.
Attitude of gratitude. So absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.
So the new school board is not quite seated yet, but a lot of the members and the sitting school board members have gone to the Wyoming School Boards Association meeting in Casper last week. How did that go?
Yeah, no, it was good. So, yeah, really excited. Our new board members they've taken their oath of office, so they're good, but they officially start on December 1st, so their first work session will be that first week in December. And we did travel down. So Jan and Lynette both had an opportunity to go down and be there for all 3 days. We also had one of our new board members be able to attend the new board member training on Wednesday. So I'm excited. All of them are energetic. I think they're coming onto the board to be a part of a great team. I think we're headed in the right direction. So if you've never had an opportunity to experience the School Boards Association, it's exhausting. So there was a lot of good stuff that came out of that. We talk about training. We talk about that collaborative piece. So I'm really excited about where we're headed. And the fact is we've got people and their commitment. So Jan and Lynette, both as officers of the board, represented Johnson County School District very well. In addition to that, it's not just school board members. So you have all the state business managers down there collaborating and solving, resolving, or taking on opportunities together. So a lot of collaboration there with board members. And then the WASA, which is the State Superintendent's Organization, has their annual meeting. So it's a pretty high-powered educational, I would call it a summit, that's put on by the School Boards Association. So really, truly excited about where we were. In addition to that, last year I reached out to Sheridan County School Districts 1, 2, and 3, along with Johnson County, to continue to strengthen that collaboration between boards. So Wednesday night we went out to dinner, had great conversations together, all the board members that were attending. I think there was about 24 people together talking about what we can do to support each other's locally. So that was, again, another good conversation. So it's not just the training, it's the collaboration and communication. So
yes.
Super excited about that.
I attended quite a few of those Wyoming yeah. School Board Association meetings, and they were incredible. And like you say, just meeting people from across the state who are board members, and then the national meetings, meeting those people from the nation, your eyes are open to new things. Those are wonderful. Wonderful meetings. I'm so glad our board was able to do that. So you said in our conversation before we began recording that you're already talking and thinking about next summer. What's happening there? I mean, the snow's just started to fall.
I know. we're getting close to the end of the first semester. So putting that PD schedule together, also making sure the PD we have scheduled for the rest of the year is aligning. So
PD, police department?
Yeah.
Yeah.
well, it's going to include the police department, so it's our professional development. So what we have is we still have our Danielson training with our teacher evaluation, and it's not teacher evaluation, it's our teacher growth model. We're still working with Kraft Consulting out of Sheridan, who is working on our teacher growth model system. Our principal are developing a brand new teacher, or not teacher, but a principal evaluation system.
I'm glad to hear that.
And taking on some new things with that. So we're continuing to move forward with that. We're continuing to work with Solution Tree and bring in professional learning community training and get those. So focusing on that. And then what you talked about police is TAC 1 is coming back. So we're starting to develop that schedule and
what is TAC 1 for those that aren't aware?
So TAC 1 is kind of your the approach is it for me is it's the what is the protocol for an active shooter?
Mm-hmm.
So it's active shooter training, but it's beyond that. It's what are the procedures for emergencies? How do you react? What do you do? And instead of being victims, we're kind of taking some lead on how to train people to to make some good decisions. So it really went over well last year. And so this will be the second of 3 years. The intention is to bring them back 3 years in a row and include the local police department in those trainings. So I'm excited about it. So again, that you think it 4 months ago, it's like, hey, I got plenty of time to put the schedule together. And then all of a sudden it's like, bang, we got to get this going. And then the next thing we're going to bring in is we're starting to talk about a PLC summit for the summer. So what do we need for professional development next year?
So tell us, let's go back a little bit. So all of these things are trainings that are going to be coming next summer for our staff. And you talked about professional development and professional learning communities and our evaluation system or our teacher growth model. But how about, let's go back a minute to the TAC 1. So that's how to react if there's a shooter in the area or if there's danger to students. So that's what it's for. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So very similar. It's just the next level. So we introduced that active shooter training last year. It was a week long. It'll be similar this year. So we'll have 1 day with staff again to kind of take it to another level of understanding and then go back around to the individual schools. The intention is to do something with the community in one of the evenings. We just very similar to last year. And then last year we did the training with the local law enforcement at Buffalo High School, but we'll probably do it at a different school this year.
I was just going to ask
so
that.
So we'll do it in a different building.
Great.
As we kind of progress forward with that.
And I think we've done one in KC in the past and then one in Buffalo High School. So that'd be neat to move it around to the different buildings.
Yeah, so just kind of moving it around, but giving our local law enforcement an opportunity to see different buildings and train in different buildings is a good thing. So.
Absolutely, sure. Speaking of our different buildings, I know in the school board election, there were comments and questions about facilities and keeping our facilities current and building maintenance issues or those kind of things. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with our facilities at this point.
So we hired a company, Arete, out of Sheridan to do a facility study of all of our buildings in the district so that we can move forward with developing a 5 to 10 year plan, which is it's one of several legs of the whole idea of finding a balanced budget by 2025. So, in order to find a balanced budget, we have to be able to go after different revenues to keep our buildings looking nice and the upkeep. And I know there's been a facility plan, but not one at this level so that we can start looking for component projects. Theoretically, after this study was over, we probably have $20 million worth of projects. We have 7 buildings that their roof systems are now out of warranty. We have potential 3 major HVAC projects, which is your heating system projects that we need to incorporate. So there's a lot of money. And when you right now get about $1.3 million annually, we need to start budgeting. So, but not only budgeting, but we need to start going after additional fundings. And by doing this process, now we can start looking at component projects. So the state has a different funding avenue for these large projects. Honestly, we're kind of behind the eight ball. Because it sometimes takes a couple years to get into this component project list, and some of these projects need to be addressed sooner rather than later. But we're going to do our best. So now that this is out, the next thing is to start is evaluating how do we stage these out, which are component projects. And then even more exciting is we start developing a rotation of how do we change, what building and what floors do we do? What do we do with carpet? What do we do for the masonry work to keep that up and running? And so those little things add up to a lot of money. So we really got to start planning some of that out so John and his crew aren't overwhelmed. Reality is this can be very overwhelming when you come up with 400 different findings. How do you manage all that? So continuing to work with Arete and John's team to develop these plans so people don't get overwhelmed, but more importantly, so we're not in a pickle somewhere down the road that this should have happened, but we didn't. We actually have data now to start doing that. And then in addition to that, Sorry, I'm getting excited again. So we just talked with Bruco yesterday to support our custodial staff internally. We always talk about the external parts of the building, the HVAC, that project. Well, we got to also start talking about how do we keep the building internally as long as we can. So Bruco is a company nationally recognized for what they do and come in and how do you clean more effectively? What can you do to maintain your floors for a longer period of time? How do you do those things? And then they help with that supply chain. So becoming more efficient, but the key word is, and you hear me say this all the time, it's PD or professional development, is giving our people professional development so they can be better at what they do and getting them the equipment that will make their jobs easier so they can do a better job. So those are all kind of all blend together. And then you throw in another leg of this, and it's called depreciation reserve. So how do we fund not only these projects, but how do we get our depreciation reserve up to a point where we can replace equipment to maintain it? So right now, last year, we were able to put some money away, but when I got here, we only had about $460,000 in depreciation reserve. A stable budget would be about $2.5 million in depreciation reserve. So building that up so that we can rotate equipment and stuff that's not paid with major maintenance or doesn't qualify for component projects. So it's not as simple as just saying, hey, we can just do this because the state has their own regulations, what we can do with major maintenance. CAP component projects have certain criteria. And then depreciation reserve has its own criteria. So making sure that wheel of motion continues in the right direction is, there's lots of little things, but the exciting thing to come back to it, we have information now, and now we're going to continue to work with the professionals of how and what we stage out, what we go to the state for, what we do. One of the topics, as we talked about in our work session, is Metal Arc. It's a very old building. Mm-hmm. We need to, after this evaluation, take a look at moving that building up the list of a rebuild because it is the oldest building in the district. Instead of putting a lot of money into it, it's time to start looking at, okay, what do we do and when is that? And so getting a school funded could be a 6 to 10 year project. So we probably need to start that now and see where we can line out on that.
Okay, so the burning question in my mind, and I'm sure in a lot of our listeners' minds, is why wasn't this stuff happening before? And I know it was because as a board member way back, I remember talking about these lists and these, you know, the major maintenance, but somehow maybe it got off the radar.
Yeah, and I don't really know. Maybe it's off the radar, but right now it's a point that it needs to be developed and put into place. There's lots of changes at all levels, but the reality is no one's at fault. These are just the challenges we have in front of us today. And, you always reference this of kicking the can down the road. Well, these are things we can't kick the can down the road. And there'll be the potential that, I might not be in this position. Hopefully I could say I'm retired, but some of these might take 10 to 15 years to develop, but we need to get them in the pipeline so that down the road, the future of Johnson County School District and this community, those projects can be on the list. So I guess that's my ultimate goal.
That sounds like a great goal. Because, I think those buildings to me seem like they're still new, but they're not. They were built quite a few years ago
the looking at it and how the community came together to build these nice facilities. Yeah. Now it is the obligation or our responsibility to make sure we maintain them as long as we can.
Absolutely.
And that is ultimately our goal. We want to keep these beautiful facilities, but we also have to be honest. It's going to take money to keep them beautiful.
Yes. And community care, I think, too. You know, sometimes we go in those facilities and we might leave our popcorn on the floor or our trash, I think each one of us can do our part to help keep those facilities looking lovely and stable.
And I appreciate that because that is mm-hmm. going to be harder and harder to do is when we're understaffed with custodians and some of our maintenance staff. And how do you collaborate? You hear me always say that collaborative piece is when we use our facilities, we maintain them, and it's going to have to be a collaborative effort to keep them maintained. So because we do want them to stay around for a long time because they are some very beautiful facilities.
So what is coming up for the holiday season in Johnson County School District number one?
Well, hopefully family, friends, and rest. The fact is we're finished up with our fall season, started our winter seasons. A lot of things happening. I know we talked about the exciting professional development that's still taking place, including what the elementaries are doing with letters. But our teachers have been working super hard and our students have been really engaged. So those celebrations as a reminder is where we're at and what we're doing. Gearing up for accreditation in the fall of 2023. All administrators have been to at least one peer review around the state, so we know what we need to prepare for. But if we want to talk about the celebrations, our last board meeting to hear all the positive things and see the video and just see what's happening in our schools is super exciting.
What video?
So at the beginning of every board meeting, there is a video, which is a link on Board Docs, which kind of shows you all the things that happen in the district. So
nice. When
I came in, I brought the video from my previous district. I think it's a good way to start every board meeting. You actually see kids that what's happening in the schools. So it's a 2 to 5 minute video of what's happening in the district with kids.
Now, so it's on Board Docs, so only the board can see this unless
nope,
you go to a board meeting?
Nope, it's open to the public.
But they go to the Board Docs link on the website
yep.
to find it.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds really neat.
So, some different things there. So, yeah, those videos of showing what we're doing with kids and, more importantly, the presentations that happened that day, there really is good things happening. There's a lot of things happening in Johnson County, but there are good things happening too.
Yeah, I know. And if you want to get in the building to go see those good things, you need to bring your driver's license.
Yes.
And check in the buildings. And
that's another system that I know there's been some hiccups in, but we've been working on those and getting feedback, and they'll probably change even a little bit more as we move forward. And I've heard both sides, people that don't like it and people that appreciate it, that we're actually monitoring who's coming in and out of the building. So there's both sides to it. However, just the emphasis is we're probably one of the last districts to actually implement a digital visitor system. So
yeah, it was pretty easy when I did it, and then I forgot to check out, so I left, and I got a text from the school saying, "Hey, are you still in the building?" And that was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So it took me a minute, but the problem is you have to remember to bring your purse or your wallet.
Carrying your license. So even me, when I walk into a building or I check in as I practice it, I think the hardest thing for me is finding out where the camera is. So you're looking at the on the iPad or where you put your card. But anyway, it all works out.
Yeah, we'll get used to it. And the safety of our kids is paramount. So
absolutely.
So that's for sure. Is there anything else that you would like to visit with us about on this Thanksgiving week?
First of all, I want to say I really feel what we're doing here is impacting in a positive way that open communication with the community. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate the community members that listen to this, and I would strongly encourage people to have their friends and other neighbors. This is the way. We want to communicate as best as we can through you guys or through the newspaper, but get involved in the school. So we're really trying to push these parent meetings and just work with your teachers and administrators. And then, the last thing I want to end on is what we've kind of started this year with my admin team is an attitude of gratitude. We end every meeting with that. So we always try to end on a positive note. And I just want to say I'm very grateful for this community and for what we're doing here this morning at this table with this interview. So thank you.
Thank you, Charles, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.